How do we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim on today's Believer's Voice of Victory and learn to apply the scriptures to our prayers for the land God has called us to uphold. Here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us today, and we're just having such a good time in the Word. I'm glad you're here. So have your Bible ready, and let's go.
Yes, we are. We're having a great time in the Word. And today we're going to look at one psalm out of a group of psalms. There are six psalms that go together. They're Psalm 113 to 118, and they're called the Hallel Psalms. You know that word, hallelujah. Hallel means praise. These are praise psalms. And Psalm 113 begins, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So these are the psalms that they would sing back in the days, you know, of the Bible times as they were coming up to Jerusalem. They had to come up to Jerusalem three times a day, a year. The men were asked to come up, and the women and children could come too, but they were asked to come up three times a year to wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, to come up to where the Shekinah glory was. Hmm. So they would come up to the, let's take temple times. They would come and they would sing these songs. Let's take the time of Jesus. He lived in Nazareth as a little boy, and you know that he with Mary and Joseph came up to the feast. And you remember how one time they didn't find him because he was there in the temple with the lawyers and the doctors, and he was talking over scripture.
He was about his father's business.
He was about his father's business.
That's right.
But these Psalms, 113 through 118, they would sing. As you came closer to Jerusalem, you reached a higher spiritual meaning as well. You go up to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter where you are on earth. If you're on the highest mountain on earth, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be going up because spiritually it's up. You go up to Jerusalem. So as they're coming up to Jerusalem, they're singing these psalms, 113 through 118. And they sing these at, today, they sang them at the special festivities. They will be singing them at Passover. Jesus sang. I used to wonder when I was a little girl. It says they sang a psalm and then they went out. I used to wonder which psalm they sang. Well, now I know. They sang Psalm 118. That's what they sang at Passover. So he would have sang, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him. He would have talked about the stone which the builders refused. He would have sung that. So one of these is Psalm 113. That's the beginning one. And let's read it. No, that is the beginning one. The one I want to read is Psalm 122, which is a song of degree, a song of ascent. It's not one of the Hallels. It's not one of 113 to 118. But this is also in a group of psalms. This is the psalms of ascent as they come up to Jerusalem, the song of degrees. And they start with Psalm 120. And we're going to read, there are groups of psalms is what I'm talking about. And these are the psalms of ascent, your Bible might say, or songs of degrees. As you go closer to the Jerusalem, you're going to be singing these psalms. So let's look at Psalm 122. And you can see they're going up to Jerusalem. They're singing this song. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Shalom be within thee. Mm. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Praise. So they're going up to Jerusalem and they're singing this and they're glad when they get up there into the house of the Lord in that day. And this is the scripture. I'm a member of Christians United for Israel. And you all are too. And actually, I think Terry and George are the state directors under the John Hagee Ministries. And I'm a regional director. And so this is one verse that many people, lovers of Israel, say over and over. They say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Well, let's take the last part. They shall prosper that love thee. God in Genesis 12:3 said concerning Abraham and the nation that would come from his loins, I will bless those who bless you and curse him that curseth you. So we know that blessing Israel is going to bring prosperity. I have blessed Israel for a long many years, and I believe that so much of my blessings come because I blessed Israel. And I do prosper. Now, the first part of that verse says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And many, many lovers of Jerusalem pray for the peace. They use the scripture. We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But what does this scripture mean, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Does it mean to pray that there will never be any wars in Jerusalem? We know that the final wars are going to be in Jerusalem. The war in Zechariah chapter 14, the war where the Messiah comes back and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, there's a war going on. So it can't mean just pray for the absence of all wars there. And I know that some of our presidents who in their hearts, well, I'll just say it, George W. Bush. I know he wanted to bless Israel. He was a friend of Israel. But he came up with this plan of dividing Israel. He came up with something called the Roadmap to Peace. Well, it wasn't the roadmap to Bible kind of peace.
No.
It wasn't the roadmap to wholeness. It was the roadmap to division. And it could never be. It could never last. It could never have the blessings of God because God doesn't want Jerusalem divided. He says so in His Word. Now, so what can this mean, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Well, we've been studying the real meaning of the word peace in Hebrew. We know that all Hebrew words grow from a root word, and the root word for peace is shalem. So this is going to tell you and me, you pray for the oneness of Jerusalem, the wholeness of Jerusalem. God doesn't want that city divided. That city's not to be divided. That city is one city. If there's one place on all the earth that God doesn't want divided, it's Jerusalem. We're to pray that it would have the peace that comes because it's not divided. Now, a very interesting thing happened for me when I was coming about and getting this revelation. So when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying, it's the same kind of peace we talked about that Jesus got for us with God. It's a prayer that it will be whole and that it will be undivided, the eternal capital of Israel. Now, we know that it's not God's will for Israel to be divided. It's not God's will for the land or the city to be divided. And on page 2, Gloria, you're going to find that I have typed Joel chapter 3 and verse 1.
Yes,
and this is talking about when He brings them home, and we know He's brought them home, Gloria, in your lifetime and mine, He's brought the Jews home. He's turned their captivity. And so it says in Joel 3, verse 1, for behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah, in other words, turn it, the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now we're going to read that in the Amplified Bible. Behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall reverse the captivity and restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Shaphat is judge, and J-E-H-O, Jeho, that's Jehovah. Jehovah will judge. God the Father is going to judge these nations. And there will I deal with and execute my judgment upon them for their treatment of my people Israel, and my people, and of my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations because they have divided my land. So anything that's God's is not to be divided. the land, the city, your heart. You. He doesn't want you broken. He doesn't want anything missing from you. That's why he sent the God of peace. We found out he's called that yesterday. Sent the Prince of Peace, Shar Shalom, to get you peace with God. Now you're one with God if you're born again, and that you can have wholeness in your life. It's not God's perfect will for you to have anything broken, anything missing.
That's right.
And it's not God's will for his city upon the earth to have anything broken, anything missing, not his God's wills for it to be divided. You know, Gloria, how he says to the church that we're to forgive. And he said, don't let there be a schism in my body. Mm-hmm. See, his body in the earth, he's the head. We're the body, body of Christ.
Would you say that's division, separation?
Yes, it is. It's division and separation, which is not a part of the way God is. God has character. I mean, he's the character of God. Yes, the Old Testament talks largely about the Jews and about their place in God's plan. But in that, you find the character of God. All through the Word of God, you're finding his character revealed. And his character, when he reveals that he is the God of peace, he's the God of wholeness. He's the God that comes from being whole. And he wants everything that demonstrates him to be whole. He wants his body on the earth to be whole. He wants Gloria Copeland to be whole. He wants Jerusalem to be whole. He wants Israel to be whole. He wants marriages
to be whole.
To be whole. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan, I say
so
of
much
him.
Better than
oh,
other
what a God. And so when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying that it be undivided. And to tell you the truth, right now there's a lot of nations that if they don't straighten up their act. I thought about this when Nikki Haley said in the United Nations, our ambassador to the United Nations.
Yeah.
She said, we're taking names of you who vote against Israel.
I saw that.
You see that? Boy, I love that lady. I think she's brave and go, Nikki. But I thought, uh-oh, there's somebody higher taking names.
Yeah.
There's God, the judge of all, is what he's called in Hebrews. And he's taking names. And if you're against Jerusalem as a nation, I'm talking about nations, mm-hmm. and if you divide his people and make up plans to divide his land, then he's going to take your nation down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there he's going to judge you because you did what? You divided his land. Mm. You divided his people. You don't want to do that. You don't want to divide anything or anybody from God. You don't want to bring a schism in the body of Christ.
That's
oh,
right.
My goodness. He tells us he wants us to build the body. You do this so that you can build the body. You speak, you prophesy so that you can build up his people. You preach to build up his people. So anybody who is tearing apart God's people, God's mm-hmm. churches, oh, you know.
Not healthy.
Not healthy. Not healthy for them, not healthy for you.
Mm-mm.
So you don't want to be a part of that. Now, we're talking about when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what do you mean? I'm going to take you back to verse 3. Jerusalem is builded. See, he builds Jerusalem. He builds the church. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. When I first went to Israel and started spending a lot of time there after Kent passed away, I asked to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to study Hebrew in the land. So I went over and I went to a Hebrew school and I spent some time there. And I started going around through the land and later I started taking tours through the land. And I noticed that everywhere I would see these paintings, these pictures, and it would have Jerusalem. And then it would have in the clouds up here another city. And I did this book, Gloria, and you can see right here on this picture. And I think maybe they have a...
Here, I got one.
Yeah, uh-huh. You see below how those houses are below?
Yeah.
Then they've got above it another city?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's because... Yeah, they've got it. They've got the picture. They're putting it up for us. Great. I'm glad you're looking at that now. This is what I saw going all over Israel. I saw paintings like this. There'd be the houses below, and sometimes it would be a little more arty in what's in heaven above. And I thought, these Jews, they know so much about heavenly Jerusalem. How do they know so much about it? And they talk about it all the time. Because it's mostly in the New Testament that I saw heavenly Jerusalem. So I said, how do they know it? How do they see about it? So I found some old synagogues, the oldest synagogues in Jerusalem, and I went into one of them because that synagogue has a painting on the wall over the Holy Ark. They have the ark that holds the Torah scrolls. And over that ark, they had buildings, and then above it, they had clouds, which kind of, there was a menorah, like in the clouds, and there was a indicating light, and there was a dove. The clouds made this, and it was representative of Jerusalem above. They call it Jerusalem Shema Allah, Jerusalem that is above. And then they call the earthly Jerusalem Jerusalem Shemata, the Jerusalem above, Jerusalem below. They talk about it all the time. Jerusalem above, Jerusalem below. They're more conscious of it than we are. Yet I see it more attached to the church and attached in the New Testament, you know, to us. So I was wondering about how this was, and I went to visit that that old synagogue, and the old rabbi was in there. He was from New York, and he had a long white beard, and he was really a friendly guy. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to know what I'm seeing all over this country. I'm seeing these depictions, these pictures of Jerusalem above. I hear people talk about it. Tell me about it. And so he said, let's have a cup of tea. So we just sat and had a cup of tea. And I like to tell this is a little joke on him. But when Jews, they do L'chaim. Like you have your coffee cup there. Yeah. You're going to do L'chaim, to life. Mm-hmm. And then they say to 120, ad mea esrim, to 120, to life. In other words,
we should say that.
I think that's why they live so long. They have more centenarians than anyone in Israel. And they say every single time they say to life, live to 120.
Hallelujah.
And so anyway, he said, you know what I say to myself when I do L'chaim with my wife? And I said, what do you say? And he says, I say to myself, L'chaim, ad mea esrim v'ahad, which is to 121. He said, I say that to myself. I want to live 1 year without her. So she's always saying 120, so he's saying 121 to himself so we can live 1 year without her. But he was funny. That was the kind of guy he was. It tells you his personality. So I'm asking him about this picture. And he says, well, I said, how do you know about Jerusalem above? And he said to me, well, Moses went there. Well, I thought, yeah, I guess he did. We always think of him sitting on the top of a ice cream cone mountain. But if Jesse went there one afternoon from a hotel room, I guess Moses did go there. And they said Moses went there, and there he was shown the pattern for the tabernacle. And there he was told about, he saw Jerusalem above, and he saw the pattern of heavenly things. And he said to me, he said, there's a parallel between Jerusalem above and Jerusalem below. We have trees here because they have trees there. We have a river here because they have a river there. And so he said, now this, and not just him, but other rabbis, I learned these facts from. Jerusalem is as a city compact together. I looked up that word for compact, builded, compact together, and it is havar, and it means joined. Joined.
Joined.
And I know this Hebrew word haver is friend. So you have a friend. It grows from the root word join because you're joined together. You and I are friends. So this word says Jerusalem is builded as a city that is joined together. It's compact together. And he said what this means is the heavenly Jerusalem and the earthly Jerusalem are coming together. In fact, they really believe it's just on another realm. Heavenly Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem. And so when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you are praying that, you are praying this right here. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. You're praying the future plans of God in. You're praying that Jerusalem on earth will not be divided. And you're praying that heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem will be joined and come together and manifest through the millennium. It's going to be manifest. They're going to see that city, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. It's a real place. It's more real than this. It'll be over earthly Jerusalem. So what you're doing when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for the joining. You're praying for the oneness of heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem. It says in Revelation 21, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And how
that'll be good.
About heavenly Jerusalem and what it means in the life of the believers. So what we're doing here when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're not just praying that they'll never. I said that about President Bush. He didn't want to have war there. So he made this thing called the roadway to peace. And it was going to end up in division. No, that's not what this means. You're not praying that they'll never have war there. You're praying that earthly Jerusalem will not be divided, and you're praying that God's plan for heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem to come together will come to pass. Even in the name of Jerusalem, we see there's two cities. When you're in Israel, they will call it Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. The ending is Ayim. That's a double ending. In counting to three, Ahat Shtayim Shalosh, you can hear the Ayim on the two. So you don't have to say, when things come in pairs, they normally come in pairs like a pair of shoes. You don't have to say two shoes. You say Nahalaim. You speak of your glasses as Mishkafayim. So when they say the word Yerushalayim, every time they say it, they're telling you there are two. They're conscious there are two. Oh, Gloria. This isn't all she wrote, what we see right down here now. There's going to be that coming together of the heavenly Jerusalem and the earthly Jerusalem. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow and what your place is in the heavenly Jerusalem.
Wow. That'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. So don't miss tomorrow. That's the key to that. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.